For the ones who know that a little late is always too late. And that the clock doesn't stop just because you're missing a part. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry. And our KeepStock inventory management solutions help ensure you have the right stuff in the right place at exactly the right time. Visit Grainger.com/KeepStock to learn more. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to That Movie Show, sponsored by Showcase Cinemas. It's Mike Wendt, it's Eddie McCabe, it's That Movie Show. It's a weird time in the world, but look, if we're doing our part, and our part is to entertain you, the radio audience and the viewing audience on Facebook. So that's what we're going to do here. We got a bunch of movie talk for you to kind of take your mind off of what's happening out in the world. So let's do some quarantine movie talk, Eddie.
Of course. It's a great day. It's been a great week for movies. normally I say that in like a very like excited tone, 'cause like hooray for movies, but no, it's been a great week for movies because people are just inside watching movies.
If for nothing else, it's a great week for movies.
Yeah. You know, so, that's it.
I mean, we would pause the show a couple times throughout to, of course, thank Showcase Cinemas for sponsoring us. But of course, movie theaters are closed right now. And we're going to talk a little bit because, Eddie, before the shutdown, you went to the movies. You used Showcase Subscribe. Of course, I mean, above all else, Showcase has been a great partner to us for the whole entire past year. We're expecting to continue with Showcase after this is all over, do a whole new show with Showcase when this is all over. But ultimately, they've been great to us for a year. Yeah. So when this is all over, please use Showcase Subscribe. Subscribe to Showcase Subscribe. Go to ShowcaseCinemas.com. Go to ShowcaseSubscribe.com. Because everyone's going to need our help, from the small independent movie theater chains to the big national chains. And we just happen to be associated with one of those chains, being Showcase Cinemas, who has provided us the ability to do this show to come on every week and entertain you guys. So please support them when this is all over and we're able to go out to the movies. Please fill the theaters once again. So before we were forced to stay inside.
Yeah.
You went out to the movies. You went twice. I saw it on your Facebook page. You Showcase Subscribe twice in 24 hours. Tell me about it, Eddie.
Yeah. Basically, the sad part about this is working in entertainment. Fortunately, we still have this job. But as a freelance television producer. Yeah, for one more week we have this job.
Look, and then but before you go on, this was supposed to be a grand 2-week finale for this show on the radio. We were supposed to be doing both this week and next week live from Blackstrap Barbecue in Winthrop. I was going to have a roughly 70s pink tuxedo shirt. It was going to be great. Eddie was going to enter a wing contest and win a championship belt. Now, look.
That was the funniest part about that is that so next week, which is also my birthday, we were going to go to this wing eating competition that you were hosting. And you were like, hey, these are really hot wings. You should enter into this thing. And I go, well, what's in it for me? And then the head of that restaurant tweeted, sent me a picture of a championship belt. And was like, well, now I have interest. I'm interested. And so, yeah. Next week, we were going to do our last show, hopefully, while I was drenched in hot sauce holding a championship belt.
Yep, we were going to do that. Now, that being said, I'm sure once this is all over and things get back to normal and restaurants are allowed to have people in their restaurants, that newlywed game with my roughly pink 70s shirt is going to return along with the wing eating contest that Eddie will enter. So trust me, at some point in the near future, if you follow That Movie Show TV on Facebook, you will see us do that at Blackstrap Barbecue in Winthrop. It just won't be broadcast on the radio.
Yeah, unfortunately. But
we're still going to be here for this week and next doing our not so grand finale.
Yeah.
The normal way we would do it here in the comfort of our homes.
Yeah. So basically, because I work when I'm not yelling at the radio and the internet into the void, I'm a freelance television producer and camera operator and all this other nonsense. Right. And because the world is falling apart, all of my clients are canceling. So look, here's the thing. If you follow a YouTube creator, if you follow somebody that you kind of have a little bit more immediate access to, they're probably struggling just like Mike and I are, right? Yep. Just because our livelihoods, you know, when the world is falling apart, the ha-ha make-em-ups of the television nonsense is last on the totem pole in terms of these companies and you know, TV and everything. You know, they're more concerned about news and stuff. Right. So go and support those people. You know, everybody, you know, there's a bunch of YouTube creators that have like Patreons and like GoFundMes and things like that. So go and check those out. Support local people. You know,
I'm assuming since we're going to have so much time in our hands that in this time at home, that movie show will eventually develop a Patreon. We're going to have to figure that out.
We're going
to, just because, like I said, you know, when it's all over, we do expect to continue on with Showcase. That's our hope. That's our goal. But nothing is set in stone, especially in these uncertain times. So we're going to put something together, and we're going to be putting not just the normal content out there on our Facebook page and our YouTube and Twitter, etc., but we're going to try to put something more together. We're going to try to do more content because what else are we going to do?
Yeah, I mean, right.
I can only sit at home and drink so much. We're going to have to create something.
Of course. So in that time of not doing anything, I went to Showcase. I have Showcase subscribe. I'm going to use it, right? Like that's what it's there for. It's what I'm, you know, here to do. And there were a couple of movies that I was like on the fence about. And because I had Showcase subscribe, it went from being on the fence to I have time. I'm going to go. The first movie I saw was The Hunt. Now, were you able to get to that?
I have not yet, and I'll get to another story in a minute about The Hunt, but go on.
So I was able to check out The Hunt, you know, the most anticipated and most controversial movie of 2019 that nobody saw. And, you know, we talked about it on this show, and I guess once you actually do see it, we'll talk more about it. Sure. But, yeah. Basically, look, I had a fun time. You know, it was a fine movie, but it was exactly what I said it was when the movie had all the controversy back in the fall and people were losing their mind over it. It was like, yeah, this movie just came out. Mm-hmm. Then nobody would care, right? Like it would have went, and it would have just been a movie that happened. And that's exactly what it was. I thought it was fun. There were some kitschy moments. There were a couple of twists and turns that I thought were very interesting and very fun. You know, but other than that, yeah, it was a movie and it happened, you know?
I talked about it when we talked about the trailer when it first dropped last year. And the movie that I said it felt a lot like was a movie from, it had to be the late 90s. It starred Ice-T, Rutger Hauer, and Charles S. Dutton called Surviving the Game, where a bunch of rich people basically take a homeless person played by Ice-T, bring him out to a cabin in the woods, set him free and hunt him.
Yeah.
So without spoiling anything, was I right?
More or less, the reasoning behind it, I think, is a little bit more clever, you know, because like they've had the most dangerous game like concept where you have a rich person hunting a person, you know, because
kind of Hunger Games, right?
Not really, because the people that wake up and are like, oh, no, like, where am I? They don't fight each other.
Oh, okay.
They don't fight, you know, they're not.
So it's pitting. A little different.
It's a little different. It, you know, it's basically they just have to survive against these people.
So the Truman Show.
Yeah, the Truman Show. you know, it was fun. It was fine. It was interesting. It was, you know, like I said, if this movie came out, we all would have watched it. You know, the thought process or like the thought of it when the trailer came out and everything was exactly how I thought Ready or Not, you know, when the trailer for Ready or Not came out, I was like, oh, I would like to see that, you know, but then Ready or Not is a far superior movie.
Which, of course, you can find in our archives, thatmovieshow.net.
Yeah, Ready or Not, far superior movie, but that base level trailer was about the same, where it's just like, oh, this movie could either be good or really bad. And, you know, so if I miss it, I miss it. But, you know, whatever. It was fine. Go check it out. You know, who knows?
Well, that's the thing. That's one of the movies, The Hunt, along with Emma, The Invisible Man, I believe the Trolls movie maybe one or two others. Universal has said that this week they're going to be releasing them, if they're not already released, on video on demand. So you can rent the movies that are in theaters, were in theaters, or going to be in theaters, and you can rent those in your home and watch them on TV, which it's helping out, I guess. That's the movie studios doing their part. And I know people say, oh, they're just trying to get our money. Yeah, but you wanted to see the movie anyway.
You know, and this is the type of thing.
Invisible Man was good. I saw that one.
I didn't see The Invisible Man yet, but I did see The Hunt. I did see The Hunt, and I think I saw one of the other ones on the list. You're not necessarily helping the ethereal movie studio. You are helping the crew. You are helping the cast. You know, people get residual checks based on how these movies go. Right. You know,
you get a movie like The Hunt that came out on the Friday the 13th, which was literally a day before basically everything shut down. But I think they had already announced 50% capacity when you went to see it.
Yeah. So by the time I went, when I went to see Bloodshot,
is that the Vin Diesel movie? Well, the Vin Diesel Terminator movie?
Yeah, the Vin Diesel Terminator movie, which we can get into because that movie was bonkers. By the time I went to see Bloodshot the next day, they had cut the capacity in half.
Okay.
We were in the Dedham X Plus theater, and it was, you know, they only had a couple of seats that you could pick, not because it was
sold out
but because they were trying to socially distance people six feet apart, which, you know, hey, good job. Good job.
You gotta do the responsible part.
Yeah, you're trying, you know. Yeah. I did see Bloodshot, the Vin Diesel movie. Mm-hmm. And
here's what I, because I haven't seen it. And again, much like The Hunt, I want to see if my guessing is correct without spoiling anything. Based on the trailer, it looks like Vin Diesel is a Terminator celebrating Groundhog Day.
You know what? I'm going to give you points for creativity. It's close. So he is a part of the Valiant superhero universe.
What is that? Like the bootleg Avengers?
So basically there's DC and Marvel up here. And then way down is where this guy is with his comic books.
You're Groot. You don't need to do this.
So basically it's that comic book series. They're very interesting. They do a lot of good stuff. You know, if you're into comic books, you know, go check them out because they're good stuff. You know, they're one of their big things is, and she's not in this movie at all, but they have a superhero and she is a plus sized woman, right? She has basically all the powers of Superman, but she's a plus sized woman, you know? So they're a little bit more socially conscious, I guess, than Marvel and DC might, but that comes with the fact that they're newer and they don't have the 50 plus years of comic book history that, you know, and characters that these, you know, Marvel and DC have.
They don't have the excuse of it was a different time.
Yeah, they don't. They don't have that, you know? And so, yeah, I don't think that this is the spark of the VCU. I don't think that that's what this is, but that's kind of where this hero lies because I've seen books of his and, you know, I've seen books of him and what he is. And he's basically like Wolverine, right? That's going to kind of be, he's like Wolverine and the Hulk kind of melded into one, just to give just a
references people understand.
Yeah. And basically the character is a dead soldier that has basically nanites, little robots that are in his blood. And so that basically turns him into a liquid Terminator.
So RoboCop.
Kind of RoboCop, kind of turning RoboCop into the T-1000.
Okay, so the Ed 209 in RoboCop.
Yeah.
Just a little bit less Detroit-y.
Yeah, a little bit less Detroit-y, a little sleeker. And, you know, it's fun. You know, it was a fun, stupid action movie.
Sure.
You know, I wouldn't say rush out to the theaters. I don't think that this changes the superhero genre at all. The problem with the movie is that it's a very generic superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
But you put up with the generic superhero plot points and beats of Captain Marvel, Captain America, Superman, Batman, because you inherently care about those characters. Sure. Whereas you don't know who this guy is. Right. So it's like, oh, this is boring and semi-predictable because I don't know who this person is. So I don't have those rose-colored glasses because this is Spider-Man.
How long was the runtime on Bloodshot?
It was close to 2 hours, which I did think was long. Like, okay. The hunt clocked in at a tight 90.
That's what I felt it was going to.
It clocked in at a tight 90. So, you know, the movie moved and the pace was good. Bloodshot, it was a little bit bloated, you know, and I think that if you kind of cut everything down a little bit and kind of streamlined things, it would have felt better.
The movie I watched, I just watched it last night, is a lot of local references in this one. It's the new Mark Wahlberg one on Netflix, Spencer Confidential.
I loved that.
Okay, you watched it too. Fantastic. I felt it comes in at an hour 50, which yeah. I did feel it was a touch long. Yeah. There was a little part just before the final action sequence where it's like, all right, tighten, let's get to it.
Yeah, you know,
the old saying, let's get to the effing. And it took a little bit to get there. However, this is, and I said this on social media, this movie is a great example of the trailer ruining expectations. Yeah. I watched the trailer, it came out, a month or two ago on YouTube, and I immediately watched it, rolled my eyes, and was like, all right, I am definitely not seeing this. It was definitely going to be, because it was a Netflix movie, so I have Netflix. It was going to be one of those ones like the Ryan Reynolds, James Cameron one. Yeah, it's like, I'll get there someday. Well, because I got nothing else to do, that someday came last night. I'm like, all right, let's give it a look. It was filmed in Boston. I know a ton of people that worked on it. It seemed like it was filming forever. I remember getting casting emails almost daily for months on end. Yeah. And it was a better movie than it probably deserved to be. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I thought tonally that movie was all over the place.
You felt like it was going to be a comedy.
Right.
There was a lot of serious stuff. It was violent. It was definitely R-rated.
Yeah.
Violent and vulgar. And I, you know, my mother used to read the Spencer books all the time, the Robert Parker books. Parker or Patrick? Either way. The books that they were based on. I've heard from people that the story, Spencer Confidential, has very little to do with the actual book Wonderland it was based on, except for all the character names. Again, I didn't read the book. I'm just watching a movie. It's kind of like talking about how, you know, the superhero movies don't follow the comics beat for beat. It's like, all right, well, I didn't see them. You know, I didn't read them. I'm watching the movie. I thought the acting was good. The accents were out of control. The Boston accents were out of control. I'm gonna butcher his girlfriend's name in it. The character's name is Sissy Davis. So that's an easy one to say. I think Eliza Schlesinger.
Sure.
I'm going with that. Her accent was insane.
She was my favorite part of that movie just because of how bonkers she was.
Now, I say her Boston accent was insane. Am I saying that because it was really close to accurate?
Yes. Oh, she was. So remember in
a South chick that basically started her own dog grooming business out of her apartment. Yeah, that's what she would be like.
It was. Remember all those sisters from The Fighter?
Mm-hmm.
That's what she felt like. She felt like that thrown on steroids.
I loved Winston Duke in it. He's having a hell of a career since basically, I think Black Panther was kind of his breakout. And then he was in Us.
Yeah.
That was another big one for him. And now this, and I thought he was excellent in it. Mark Wahlberg was Mark Wahlberg, and he did Mark Wahlberg pretty well. He did the Mark Wahlberg stuff pretty well.
Look, I went into that movie with the set of expectations that it's a Netflix original movie. Right. And I also forgot that over my right shoulder, I got Escape from New York playing.
Yeah, good thing there's no nudity in it. I forgot there wasn't, but all right, cool.
Well, it's also on Facebook, so who cares?
We are streaming on our Facebook page right now, facebook.com/ that movie show TV. Yeah, okay, you're good. Yeah, because we're going to be talking about Escape from New York a little bit later on the show, on the back half of the show.
Yeah, and so screens.
Screens.
Screens. But it was just, it was bananas. Like, yeah. Mark Wahlberg, like, I just went in with zero expectations. I was like, look, I think this movie's going to be kind of funny, buddy cop sort of thing, and it's going to, you know, live on Netflix, so it'll be okay. But no, it was good. I ended up enjoying the movie. You know, I think I watched it on, like, a slow Saturday night or something like that.
I definitely enjoyed it more than I thought I would. One of the cool things was, and I found out after commenting on it, I did my little post on Facebook, and somebody corrected me. Apparently, the Raynham dog track was the one they used to double as Wonderland. You fooled me. I spent many a day in high school at the Wonderland dog track learning that I really don't like gambling. And it looked how I figured it would look if it had been shut down for many years and this is what they were going to film. Because the sign, the scoreboard, all that stuff was in the right places. Him walking through, I don't know what you would call that room with all the seats and stuff, but it looked just like it. The spectator area, I guess.
Sure.
Whatever. But looked just like it. And I'm sitting there watching. I'm trying to do math. I'm like, I know they tore it down. But this also was filmed like a year or two ago. It was filmed a while ago.
Yeah,
because I think it had distribution problems, and Netflix ended up. It wasn't originally a Netflix movie.
No, I think it was supposed to be a wide release, and then Netflix just purchased it because they need content.
If you're watching on Facebook, I'm getting blinded by the sun. I gotta close that.
Yeah, you are.
And okay, so that's gonna be better in a second.
Electric blinds.
I do have electric blinds. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Blinds too. Electric boogaloo. And yeah, it was cool. It was very Boston. Yeah. So the rest of the country might have opinions about it, but for a fun, you know, just about 2-hour watch, yeah, give it a shot.
It was good.
Give it a shot. So I think we're going to jump into Escape from New York. We got about 10 minutes left on the radio side of things. Again, there's no movie theaters open right now. But Showcase Cinemas has been a fantastic partner up with us for an entire year. And as we said earlier, we're expecting to continue with them once the world gets back to normal. And when the world does get back to normal and movie theaters open up and you are able to go to the theater and see movies, please sign up for Showcase Subscribe. It's showcasesubscribe.com. Not only do we want to fill these theaters, but it is literally the best way to get movie tickets when you can go to the movies. So thank you, Showcase Cinemas, for sponsoring that movie show for the past year. We've really appreciated it. And Escape from New York, Eddie, we got about 6 minutes left here on the radio side of things. General thoughts.
So this is one of those guilty pleasure movies that I absolutely love, even though I recognize that it's hot garbage.
Shots fired on a cult classic.
Oh, well, that's why it's a cult classic, because it's not inherently going to be a good movie. The Godfather isn't a cult classic. It's a classic because it's good, you know? And so I love John Carpenter. I love the way John Carpenter makes movies. And this fits right into that. I also, even hotter take, I also love Escape from LA, even though that movie is equally hotter garbage.
If not more.
Yeah, it's so funny. One of my favorite podcasts that I listen to, and you should as well if you're looking for something to do, is How Did This Get Made? How did This Get Made? It's fantastic. I highly recommend it on all podcasting platforms. They did Escape from LA, and they just tore apart how logistically the city of Los Angeles that they portrayed doesn't make sense.
Sure, of course.
And having lived there, I 100% agree.
I'm also, you brought up the How Did This Get Made. I'm a little upset we didn't know that they did a Medford show. Their last episode was live from Medford.
What?
Yes. Their last episode of their podcast. I know we're promoting another podcast, but whatever. It's weird times. And they are fantastic at what they do. Yeah, they were in Medford.
I would have wanted to went. The last time that they were here, they were at the Wilbur. and I tried to get tickets, and they sold out in like 2 minutes.
They did Underworld Blood Wars live from Medford.
Oh, man.
I'm not sure when it was recorded. I mean,
we should look into trying to do live shows from that Medford theater.
We were going to do our last two live radio shows live in person. It was like our next progression of this show is doing shows live in front of an audience. We were going to start off with a big 2 week finale on the radio, going into live shows from Blackstrap Barbecue. And then, of course, the world has different plans for that movie show.
We a bar that you can get takeout for if you're in, in the area. But
East Boston, yeah, absolutely.
But Adventure Pub was going to, like, have us.
Talking with them, yeah.
You know what I mean? So you can get takeout from them. They're still open.
They're in Arlington, correct?
Arlington, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this was the next progression of that movie show, which we are still planning. When we are allowed to leave our homes, we're going to do live shows with the audiences.
We could just do live shows from my house.
We could do that.
Everybody can come over. Everybody can come over. We'll do live shows from my house.
You got your house. Come on down the Cape. We'll do it from the beach. We had plans that we were going to start unveiling at these last two shows on the radio. But, it is what it is. Now it's just a normal show where we're just kind of yucking it up about Escape from New York for the last 4 minutes.
Yeah, right.
I've literally. OK. Do you remember it was years ago? The video went viral. It was Bill Burr on the Opie and Anthony Virus Tour, and it was in Philadelphia. The crowd turned on him, and he literally sat there not only tearing apart the crowd, but also reading his countdown clock. He's like,
yes,
blah, 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 blah. 2 minutes and 30 seconds left of this.
Yeah, yeah.
And as soon as it hits zero, he goes zero, drops the microphone, walks off stage.
Oh, so that was very funny. That's where he just tears into them about booing Santa Claus.
Booing Santa Claus, idolizing a fictitious sports figure as in Rocky.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, he tears into them about that. It's so funny.
It is one of the greatest savage beatings you will ever see a comic do to an entire crowd. And of course it's all over YouTube. So please go watch Bill Burr. Bill Burr has a great podcast too. You know, I think that's what we're going to do. That's the next progression of that movie show. We're just going to recommend other shows.
Yeah, just other shows.
Other shows that really don't need our help. Yeah, Bill Burr and How Does It Get Made don't need our help.
Here's a brand new one that is a favorite of mine, mm-hmm. Former producer of this show, yes. Bill Neville. Him and his girlfriend, they live in Orlando. They started a podcast called A Couple of Park Hoppers. So if you're into Disney, go follow A Couple of Park Hoppers.
It's like one of those, again, everything just, you start something and it just crumbles because of what's happening. They started a Disney World podcast 2 weeks before the park closes for the first time ever.
I know. Yeah, like elongated closing. Those, I love Bill Neville.
Oh, they're fantastic. I've listened to both their episodes, and it's awesome. A couple of Park Hoppers, please subscribe to them, especially if you're into theme parks, Walt Disney World specifically. They're fun. They're a fun-loving couple.
Yeah.
I love that. They had me hooked, not only because they're friends, but the first little conversation they were having, the line, we didn't even have a bed, but we had our annual passes for Disney World. I'm like, oh, you two are adorable.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Dani also does a Zookeeper show on her own. It's very interesting because there's so many things, like you see stuff like Blackfish, right? Which is a documentary about SeaWorld, yep, and how like terrible they are. And, you know, she's a former SeaWorld employee. She used to be a caretaker for penguins at the San Antonio, SeaWorld. And it's so interesting kind of hearing from her and hearing from people that work in that industry about the, you know, misconception that, you know, people get by a poster, a documentary, and the power of documentary. And right, maybe that's what next week's episode will be. I'll just go on a tirade about how much I hate documentaries because they're not actually like truthful, because everybody has an agenda.
Well, that's only if you watch documentaries for facts. If you watch them for entertainment, they're a hoot.
Oh yeah, they're very interesting. Well, because like the biggest one is like
the McMillian series on HBO, worth a watch.
Yeah, you watch Making a Murderer, right?
Making a Murderer. I'm a big fan of the Super Size Me documentaries.
Right, and it's like there's so much stuff. What's his name? The guy that made
This is Spinal Tap.
Yeah, this is Spinal Tap.
Which you can find in the archives, thatmovieshow.net. As we wrap up, we got about 30 seconds left, so I'm just going to wrap this up.
Yeah, wrap this up.
But yeah, we'll discuss this more on the series finale of That Movie Show, the radio version, next week, Saturday at 9 a.m. Please join in. And of course, we're going to continue this conversation right now on our Facebook page. So jump over, facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv. Mike Wendt, Eddie McCabe, you can follow us on social media because we will be posting. What else are we going to do now? At Mike Wendt, at The Eddie McCabe. Eddie just signed up for TikTok. It is weird. The Eddie McCabe on TikTok. Hashtag That Movie Show. And please come on back next week because it's going to be a hoot and a holler right here, Saturday morning, 9 a.m. And yeah, jump to the Facebook page. Okay, good. Oh, and of course, thanks for Showcase. Thanks you, Showcase, for a great year of sponsorship.
Bye, everybody.
New York, 1997. The entire city is a walled maximum security prison. The bridges are mined. The rivers are patrolled. And the United States Police Force has everything under control.
He's down. I'm going in.
John Carpenter's Escape from New York, the high adventure of the future. One man must go in where no man has ever gotten out. John Carpenter's Escape from New York, the greatest escape of them all, is about to blow the future apart.
That's Hooey Valley, Hooey Hollywood, where any office boy or young mechanic.
Okay, and welcome back to That Movie Show. Radio show is over. It is time to talk all things Escape from New York. Mike Wendt and Eddie McCabe here with you. Follow us on social media at Mike Wendt, at The Eddie McCabe, and follow Eddie's brand new TikTok. He's doing some interesting things over there.
Yeah, that's what I've decided to do. As of recording this.
You need warnings. I wasn't expecting to see you in your underwear on the second video.
I know. I realized.
Very risky business.
Yeah, very risky business. It was very funny. So I was, sharing that video and somebody commented on it and be like, look, here's the deal. I thought a ball was going to pop out when you take that kick. Like, it was like, oh, you know what? I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about that. Here's the thing that I think people need to know about me is I don't give a fuck.
Shameless. He's shameless.
So shameless. I do not give a fuck. I don't care what you think about me because I don't know you. So that's how I feel. I'm basically do this shit for me at this point, and that's kind of, what you got to do.
All right, let's jump into Escape from New York. Enough about you and your balls.
Yeah. Look, there are people out there that love my balls.
Well, have them subscribe to our channel. Maybe we'll show them more of your balls.
Sure. The world's exploded, Mike. If we have to make money by me shaking my balls on the internet, then that's what we got to do. All right.
Live from the Coyote Ugly.
Here's the deal. I'll shake my balls while drinking a Corona, trying to stay inside away from the coronavirus.
As long as it's all sponsored, we're good, man.
Yeah, hopefully there's an algorithm where they're like Corona content. And
now, did we just come up with our Patreon channel?
Yes. Yes.
Please donate to Eddie's balls.
Just donate to my balls.
Oh, my God. Escape from New York. Let me do the business. It was released July 10th, 1981. It had a budget of $6 million. It made $25.2 million at the box office. It was written by John Carpenter and Nick Castle, who, fun fact, actually played Michael Myers in the first Halloween. It was directed by John Carpenter, produced by Larry Franco and Deborah Hill, music by John Carpenter, stars Kurt Russell, Lee Van Cleef, Ernest Borgnine, Donald Pleasance, Isaac Hayes, Harry Dean Stanton, Adrian Barbeau, Ox Baker, and a cast of characters. Eddie, you kind of hit it hard with the hot garbage in the radio version. Expand now that we can.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, this movie is a cult classic. I mean, it's not very good. It's kind of cheap, but it's pretty endearing. Cheap. It's endearing. You know, I think that it's a ton of fun to watch. It's an easy watch. You know, Kurt Russell is a national treasure.
And the funny thing is, we all forget about Kurt Russell's early career. They wanted Tommy Lee Jones for his part. They wanted Tommy Lee Jones to play Snake Plissken. The studio did. Yeah. And Kurt lobbied to play Snake Plissken because he was so desperate to break himself of his Disney persona, because up until this point, he had really done guest spots on TV shows and Disney movies as a kid.
He was the computer that wore tennis shoes.
Exactly. He had for movies, he had really only done Used Cars the year before, which again is a huge, highly funny movie. One of my favorite comedies. Go watch Used Cars. But also he played Elvis in a made-for-TV Elvis movie that was directed by John Carpenter.
Okay.
Again, I have that on Blu-ray as well, because of course I do. It's available at Show Factory, actually. But that was it. Like, he was a TV and Disney kid up until this, and then he plays Snake Plissken and becomes the Kurt Russell that we all know and love.
Yeah, and thank Jeebus for this. Seriously. Because I mean, this movie is so fun to watch. Then, you know, I think the far superior, and we'll have to do it at some point, Big Trouble in Little China.
Yep.
Which is so fun.
Another John Carpenter, Kurt Russell collaboration.
Yep. And it's fantastic, you know, and then obviously, you know, his career just kind of takes off from there, but
yeah, he did Tango and Cash.
Yeah.
And Captain Ron.
Yeah. I love Captain Ron.
I'm going to name all his bad movies. Soldier. Breakdown.
Yep.
Look, I ride with 3,000 miles to Graceland. I like that movie, even though it's absolute trash. He's done some weird shit. Sky High.
Did you see that? Oh, that's right. Yes. The Disney. Yeah. But he went back to Disney.
Yeah, he went back to Disney, and that's what happens. Sky High.
But then he gets to play a god in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So you know it all evens out in the end.
This is true. Plus, he's stuntman Mike in Grindhouse. Inspiring my famous stuntman Mike Nacho Platter.
Yeah.
Famous. Only available in my house.
Only available in your house.
Yes, this movie was extremely cheap. I mean, $6 million is not a lot of money to make a movie like this, an action movie with sci-fi and special effects. Reading some of the ways they did this shit was really interesting, especially because a lot of the movie, you're looking at basically wireframe computer graphics. And the way they did it, 3D wireframe imaging was way too expensive back in the early 80s. So to generate the wireframe images, the special effects people built an actual model of New York City, painted it black, attached bright white tape to it, and then just glided the camera over the model.
Oh, amazing.
Basically, that's the way they did the Death Star at the end of the first Star Wars.
That's amazing. That type of stuff is so fantastic because, you know, John Carpenter famously uses all real stuff. You know, I mean, one, because this movie is from the early 80s and they didn't have the type of computer generated image. There's one here and it's weird looking, especially now where the Air Force One is going down in the plane. And it's like that's like a computer generated image or something.
Most of it's probably models on blue screen.
Yeah, you know, but it looks weird and it's because graphics were so shitty back then. You know what I mean?
There was a lot of matte paintings used in this, and a fun fact about the artist who painted those matte paintings, James Cameron.
Oh, fantastic.
The model that I was just mentioning of this New York City was repainted and then used in Blade Runner.
Oh, cool.
And opening narration over the prison scene where they're walking Snake through the prison.
Yeah.
An uncredited voiceover cameo by Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, great.
So They're doing what they have to do to make this movie on the cheap, man.
And that's the best.
You got Lee Van Cleef. You got to pay the man.
Yeah, right. You do.
In Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, his eyes are very famous.
He can never play it. He was never able to play anything but a villain.
Yeah. He's
a smarmy looking guy.
He is. He's a very smarmy, evil looking dude. He just is. He just is. And I mean, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is fantastic. But yeah, this it's so interesting watching these type of things because the movie looks real and it looks better because we tried not to use computer graphics. You know what I mean? Like having this, if this movie was made today, and I bet you that there's another, you know, dystopian New York City prison movie that was made, you know, between 2016 and 2020. And I bet you that movie was made for either more than $6 million, you know, and it's
or
garbage.
It's made by somebody on YouTube.
Or it's made by somebody on YouTube.
For 40
either
bucks.
Way, either way, that movie looks garbage. You know what I mean? And
or it looks like Avengers Farce Wars, which you can find in our archives, that unfortunately.
It's so bad.
So bad.
But this movie, it looks good. It's, you know, it has atmosphere. It has character. It has a future Scientologist.
Oh, Isaac Hayes.
Isaac Hayes.
Yeah.
He had to quit South Park over his religion.
The Duke of New York, number one. Love Donald Pleasant's voice. I really do.
Yeah.
There's been times, I'm not going to lie. I know a couple weeks ago or maybe last week, it feels like a month ago that this whole week has taken place. But I mentioned that I was driving in my car after the hands-free law, and I just shouted out, I am an FBI agent, the Johnny Utah line. Well, there's also been times where I've done the Donald Pleasant's voice and just yelled, Michael Myers! Yeah, because I just love his friggin' voice. It's what I do. That and Ted DiBiase's laugh. It humors me by myself.
Yeah.
Weird fun facts. It's a weird time. Fuck off.
Yeah, of course. One of my favorite fun facts, just because we're still in the trivia section of this, is that Solid Snake, the character from Metal Gear Solid, is an homage to Snake Plissken.
I think I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, Hideo Kojima is a big fan of these type of movies, and so Snake Plissken is, or Solid Snake is, the character model is modeled after Kurt Russell in the later games, and in Metal Gear Solid 2, he even goes under the name Iroquois Plissken.
Pretty and good.
So.
It's kind of like Duke Nukem is basically Ash from Evil Dead, at least his catchphrases are.
Yeah. Yes.
What else before we really jump into it? Adrian Barbeau was married to John Carpenter at the time. He probably married her just to keep her, you know, fee down.
Yeah. Yeah. It was easier to go through the divorce later.
Yeah, exactly. Take a loss on that one. But they had just done The Fog a year earlier, the two of them. Cool. And that was like that. The Fog and Halloween were really John Carpenter's. He did Assault on Precinct 13 a little bit before that as well. So this was like his fourth big movie. And then he did The Thing a year later. Christine, then Big Trouble in China, Prince of Darkness. He took off after that.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, let's jump into it.
Cool.
Oh, my last thing. The Duke's little sidekick, his little Salacious B. Crumb guy. Yeah, he looks like a video game person. Like his hair, is it like the... Fuck. I mean, he looks like Pikachu, but it's not that one. It's the one people keep making the John Cena memes about. You know what I mean? Where he explodes into that animated thing.
Oh, he looks like a Dragon Ball Z character?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that's a thing that they're actually referencing in Dragon Ball Z is his hair, but no. you brought up your thing. I brought up my thing. My thing is not accurate.
I don't know. I don't think that had come out yet.
Okay, so he was just a weird guy with weird hair.
He looked more like a Lost Boy.
Yeah, or a Lord of the Fly.
Yeah, or a Lord of the Fly.
Poor Picky. Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
All right, let's jump into it. It is, it's present day 1997, also known as the future.
Yeah. That's going to be my favorite part of this going forward is that I think outside of like really crazy space movies, like we've hit all of them. You know what I mean? Like I think Dune is like the last one. You know what I mean? Like we might be coming up on aliens.
It's kind of where George Lucas was kind of smart with Star Wars long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah. It took place in the past.
It's the past. The way past.
Way past.
And I guess the next series is going to be even further in the past. So
yeah.
There you go. So we see Snake being leaded through a futuristic prison, which is on, are we on Liberty Island?
I think so.
Okay. So he, so the plane he's in leaves Liberty Island to, that makes sense. He leaves from there to go to Manhattan. And basically he's led into Lee Van Cleef's office and told that the president has been kidnapped because Air Force One was hijacked, taken down, and the president's been kidnapped, and they, the only man.
Yeah, the only man for the job who conveniently happens to be like this crazy criminal, but also an ex-special forces agent.
Aren't they always?
They always are.
You know, we don't treat our military well enough.
Yeah, that's the only thing about this is, like, the world building is fairly interesting. The world building in this is fairly interesting, and I would love to have explored it a little bit more because it's like, okay, who is Snake Plissken? How does everybody not only know who he is by, like, name recognition, but also, like, after, like, I know who you are, and they, like,
say... They all think he's dead.
Yeah. Also, what happened that made you think that he was dead? And yeah, why did
that
you,
story?
Yeah, what? How did that happen? And what did you do to be this notorious criminal?
The other thing is, he also, the reason he's sitting in Lee Van Cleef's office, he got arrested.
Yeah,
like whatever he did, he didn't get away with. He got caught.
Right, and so like they kind of allude to it when they get to like the brain.
Right,
you know, like was he supposed to be the getaway driver?
Maybe, but it feels like they were old partners.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Snake is getting caught now. He's in the now.
Right. And, not and the it, then.
And it feels like when Harry Dean Stanton now? Ran on then.
When do we get soon. To now? Soon? Soon. Okay.
Soon. Yeah, it feels like he ditched him because the brain has been, you know, in Manhattan for long enough that he's the brain. He's a figure, much like the Duke that we'll get to. So it feels like he's been there for a while. He got caught a while ago. So I think whenever he tried to run, he probably got caught and Snake got away on that one, but then got caught on a later job. The big reason it's important to get the president back in 22 hours is because there is like a NATO summit that's coming together between Soviet Union and Europe and a bunch of places. And it's going to be a nuclear holocaust if the president doesn't play this cassette tape.
Right.
Basically, that has some, I don't know. It
which
has
is
some
always
speech.
Really funny. Which is really funny because you figured having the, like, having it be hijacked and crashed into a prison would be enough to be like, hey, world leaders, can we, like, postpone this for, like, 2 weeks? Because, like, we're dealing with some shit.
Yeah. Again, we're doing this movie for a reason. It's all very, very relevant.
Yeah, right.
Can we put a pause on everything because you've put a pause on all of us?
Yeah. It's like, look, here's the deal. It's like, you know, I know we're supposed to have this big, giant world peace meeting, but
look at how stressed Eddie is.
But on the way there, our plane got hijacked. It's not like, you know, the guy came down with food poisoning and we need to tough it out. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, this dude, like, a terrorist attack happened. Can we get a mulligan? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just, it seems a little extreme that it's just like, Russia says now or never.
Yeah. Yeah. It's literally in 22 hours, the bombs are deployed.
Yeah. It's like, look, we signed a contract.
Reagan tactic.
Yeah, we signed a contract. Everybody's fucked.
In 5 minutes, the bombs will be deployed.
Really? Really?
Damn, I can't even do one last fucking.
And then in the biggest, like, moment of logic that Snake Plissken has in this entire thing, he just goes, because they shoot, like, little nanobombs into his throat so that if he doesn't, like, if he took off in the plane, which, look, smart, guys, real smart. Like, if he just took off.
You got to keep your dog on a leash.
Yeah, like, because if he took off in the plane and then was just like, fuck this, I'm going to Canada, which is like, oh, yeah, no, this guy would definitely do that.
Right.
It's also, Canada's a lot farther away than you think it is, but whatever.
Yeah, it's New York.
Yeah.
In a plane, take him 2 hours tops.
Yeah. Does he have enough fuel? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't give a shit. He could crash in Buffalo and walk the rest of the way.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You
know, or steal a car. I mean, it's not like he's above crime.
Yeah, I guess you're right. He, but so
that's the thing, Eddie. The secret ingredient to this movie is crime.
You're right. He asks the most relevant question of all of them. He's like, "Well, what happens if I'm like 2 minutes late?"
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what? You're gonna blow me up in 22 hours on the dot?
Yep.
Like, what happens if I'm like, I don't know, scaling a wall to get down?
The funniest part about it is Lee Van Cleef wasn't going to tell him. The doctor that shot him literally turns and goes, tell him.
Yeah.
And Lee Van Cleef gives him a look like, I was not going to. I was going to keep that a secret. I was not going to tell him about the two bombs we just shot into his neck.
Yeah, I wasn't going to. I would imagine that he would have told him like on. Well,
I don't know. Lee Van Cleef's a dick.
Yeah, he's kind of a dick. Well, also, it's just like, when are you going to tell him when he's on, when like the plane starts taking off towards Canada? Is that when you were going to tell him?
Snake, this is your captain speaking. By the way, your neck is filled with explosives and you got 22 hours to get the president back here.
Yeah, you got 22 hours now. So go ahead.
You're going to die. Oh, and also the most simplest explanation for how to defuse them. If you're back in 22 hours, we'll defuse them with x-rays.
Yeah.
Like, the fuck you say? Look.
X-rays?
I've been x-rayed a bunch of times. I don't think that shit's defusing anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
But again, it was a different time.
Yeah. The technology.
X-rays and lasers. Yeah.
It's 1981. We're not going to get a firm grasp on this for another 10, 15 years.
You can almost see him writing the script. You're like, all right, so what are we going to tell him? How are we going to tell him we're going to defuse the bomb? It doesn't matter. It's Kurt Russell. We all know he's going to live. X-rays.
Yeah, who cares?
He's not going to die. Nobody believes this.
By the way,
I just see Ox Baker over your shoulder, that hairy son of a bitch.
Yeah, because I got the movie playing on. Because
you got the movie playing screens. So Snake jumps in the glider and makes a beeline for the World Trade Center because it's the only place you can land a glider. Yeah. And because it's a glider, you have to kind of take off on a free fall type of thing.
Yeah.
Is the way they describe it. Of course, when he does land on the Twin Towers, he can't stop quick enough, so he literally stops on the edge.
Yeah.
To which he tells him, because Lee Van Cleef, the entire ride over, is just micromanaging the shit out of him. Like, even I was getting annoyed. He's like, Snake, what are you doing, Snake? What's your altitude, Snake? I was like, dude, turn your comm off. Pull Luke Skywalker, turn that shit off, use the force, get in there.
Yeah, and just land the plane and then figure it out.
And he's like, yeah, I landed, but taking off, we're fucked.
Yeah, right.
We're not going to take off. So we're going to have to figure another way out of this situation. By the way, have the x-rays ready.
Yeah, right. I do like that he ends up going to that weird opera because he's like tracking the president's like comm. Hey, look, man,
they got to entertain themselves.
Yeah. So I appreciated that. I think it would be I do like that art and community are still a thing, even in a post-apocalyptic wasteland New York prison city. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that's the weirdest thing, because they basically turned Manhattan into a giant maximum security prison. They establish it in the open where the two guys are trying to literally get on a, I don't know, it looks like raft. The thing that Rose wouldn't let Leo on at the end of Titanic. And yeah, they fit two of them on and they're paddling along and they just blow them out of the water.
Yeah.
In the quickest warning ever, they're like, turn around. 3 seconds, drops a bomb into the water, and then waited 1, 2, and then drops a bomb right on top of them.
It's like, yeah,
we don't have time for this. We're going back. It's Miller time.
Yeah, it's Miller time. We got to get this done.
Nobody's going to miss you.
Yeah, no one's going to miss you at all. It was fantastic. Yeah. He ends up going into like the bowels of this theater, and you know, despite
he's following because he was given a tracking transponder that was following the president's heartbeat.
Yeah.
So because they were supposed to have like a watch type thing, something on the wrist that's tracking the president's heartbeat. He's following the trail, finds it on a bum who happens to be the same bum from Back to the Future. I don't know if you picked up down that one.
Oh, the former mayor.
Yeah. Yes. No, not Goldie Wilson.
But then which mayor?
The bum from Back to the Future. is the bum who in this one that's wearing the president's watch.
Right.
Yeah. Was he the mayor?
He was the mayor.
When did we establish that?
Remember when
was that the alternate 1985?
Yeah, yes.
I don't know. I just know it was that guy.
Yeah, sure.
It was the bum in Back to the Future. Same thing. He was typecast. Hollywood.
Yes.
I loved his reaction because he's hunched over, so you can't really see him. And he's clearly beeping, and Snake goes, "Mr. President." And he turns around and goes, "I knew I'd be the president someday. They gave me this thing, and I became president."
Like, so that caused a post-traumatic stress flashback for me because WrestleMania is getting canceled or whatever. And so when we went and did the WrestleMania, like our first live pre-show with the New Age Insiders for WrestleMania 31, we did it at this bar called the Park Lane Lounge. And we were going to do it at this bar, and it was out of the way.
The San Jose one?
Yeah, the San Jose one. And it was like, it was a bad time at the El Royale, right? Because this bar was out of the way, real far away. And Bill and I were surveying the bar. The bar looked nothing like the photos in the on the website and Facebook and everything. And we're looking, and these two townies like just looked at us and they go, "What are you doing?" And we were like, "We're doing a wrestling show, blah, blah, all this stuff." And one of them just turns half cocked, looked up and down, and goes, "You gonna wrestle each other?" and that's what that reminded me of.
Boys, get the Vaseline. These two fellas want to wrestle.
they gonna wrestle each other. Like, oh, Christ. Get me out of here. Get me out of here.
Set up four bar stools as your ring.
I
don't know why I'm using this accent.
Get me out of here. And
okay, does the hotel lobby have Wi-Fi? That's
literally what happened. I go, "We're getting out of here." And we turned around and we got out of there.
Deuces,
everybody. Deuces. But yeah, so that's what that reminded me of. I knew I'd be president someday. The fuck you did. Get out of here.
So he busts the watch thing, to which, of course, it transponds back to home base saying the president's dead.
Yeah,
right. And they're like, and literally like, what happened? And Snake's like, "Look, the president's gone. Somebody stole his watch. Get me the hell out of here and get these things out of my neck." And they're like, "Nope, you got to find them." Cool. And now our adventure begins. So Cabby, played by Ernest Borgnine, runs into him, knows exactly who he is, and seems to be the guy that gets shit done around the underworld. And he's, we realize that gasoline is a commodity, much like Mad Max. And the Duke is, much like Immortan Joe, is hoarding not water, but gasoline. He also has gasoline in Mad Max, too. I don't know why I'm just going back to Mad Max, but it's very similar.
It's a post-apocalyptic wasteland. It makes sense.
It's this Puckyclipse. It's a lot of bartering, and trading. Again, like Mad Max Thunderdome, Bartertown. We'll just keep going. And so he wants to see a Duke, because we reveal that the Duke has the president, Cabby told him, without any hesitation.
Yeah. So,
of course, Snake's very quick to throw his gun in everybody's face. And Cabby's like, "Look, you don't got to hold me up, man. I'll tell you where the president is. Duke's got him."
I'll let you know.
So he brings him to see Brain. And we got Brain and his main squeeze, Maggie, played by Adrian Barbeau, and her cleavage. And we see Brain, who's played, of course, by Harry Dean Stanton. We get the interaction that Brain and Snake, because he calls him Harold, which apparently nobody in the New York prison system knows him as Harold. It's just Brain. And they were partners at one time. And Brain's importance in this is to the Duke, played by Isaac Hayes, where he basically has the schematics of the bridge.
Yeah.
And for some reason, that's important for their escape.
So the reason it's important is because the schematics reveal where the mines are. So when, if they were to just march across the bridge, then they would get blown up by mines. If they have Minesweeper, they're able to figure out where the mines are and they won't get blown up. When they march to that large wall.
Yeah, exactly. fast forwarding to the end a bit, because the bridge does come into play in the climax. It's actually the Chains of Rock Bridge in St. Louis. It spans over the Mississippi River on the north edge of St. Louis. John Carpenter bought it from the government for $1. And then when production was done, he sold it back to him for $1.
Very fun.
Weird fun fact. That's how things really were done back then. Independent movies, man. That's how we do shit.
Yeah.
That's it's like fun. Like a parent selling a used car to a child.
It is.
Or, but they still or the, have or to the pay Dukes taxes making on it. A bet. $1.
$1.
Yeah, so he takes Snake to meet the Duke, and we get introduced to his little Salacious B. Crumb character there. I'm not sure of his name. And but he's a weirdo. Real freaking weirdo.
Real weird. Real I don't know why weird. Those two are hanging out.
Well, you know, everybody needs a weirdo.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
It takes a village, especially when Manhattan's turned into a prison. Yeah. But he's just overly flamboyantly sexual in everything he does. Even he takes off his sunglasses, and it was so dramatic. He's just like, it was the weirdest thing. I noticed he crossed his arm over his face and took it off like that.
Yeah,
I've never
peeled
seen
it
take
off.
Yes, exactly. He peels it off. I've never seen anybody take sunglasses off like that. So they're having fun having target practice with the president.
Yeah.
They shoot open his briefcase. Why that wasn't the first thing they tried to do, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because they incapacitate Snake right away. They're like, yeah, this ain't happening, bro. So they take his watch. They take his transponder. They take his jacket. They left his eye patch. And they take his gun.
They're not monsters.
They have some dignity.
Yes,
and,
some.
They're playing target practice with the Duke, with the president. The Duke is the one shooting, and he's got his audience. And is this where we have the wrestling match?
Yeah, just about. He's basically they open up the case and because he's shooting at him. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
basically. There's a couple of little shootouts. Snake runs into a couple bums, but ultimately, Brain gets him to the Duke.
Yeah, Brain gets him to the Duke, and then they end up. He's got to wrestle that giant, and they find out that they open the briefcase and they find the tape.
Yeah,
and they find out that it's like, oh yeah,
Brain kind of tells him because Brain's trying to convince because Brain is convinced that Snake's going to help them escape.
Right.
He's like, all right, well, Snake's going to get the president off this island. So let's help him. So he'll bring us off the island as well. So while they have Snake, Brain's trying to convince the Duke to not kill him. And all the while, Duke's like, I need you to get your map or get your schematics or whatever the hell you get.
Right.
And Duke's just Brain's just trying to talk his way out of it. He's like, well, don't kill him, man. The man sent him in here. It's got to be something important. Some shit's going down. And Duke's like, fuck all that. Get your map. We're going to I'm going to take my Cadillac with the two chandeliers on the hood.
My chandelier Cadillacs.
By the way, I'm Isaac fucking Hayes.
Yeah, I am chef. I will get murdered off of this off of the thing that everybody will know me from.
How bad do you have to fuck up to have South Park kill you off for real?
Like, brutally, too. Like, they were so mad at him that they turned him into a pedophile and then had him so brutally murdered by animals and embarrassed. Like, it was crazy.
Shit his pants.
He shit his pants. Like, it was bad.
Yep.
Real sad that we've never seen the return of Darth Chef, though, which I think would have been very fun.
I think we would have got it had Isaac Hayes not died. I really do. I think that fence would have been mended. It's been like how many years? It's been at least 15, 10 years or so.
Yeah.
The show's on its 23rd season, maybe longer.
It's close to 30. I think it's over 30.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I think that fence would have been mended eventually.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, where are we here? So we get the president after the fight.
Yes.
Snake kills Oxbaker. I believe his name is Slag. Is that right?
Yeah.
He's a big giant. Big hairy guy.
Yeah, big hairy giant guy.
A lot of beef in the ring, pal. So
RIP WrestleMania 36.
I know. And So Snake gets Brain and Maggie and the president, and we all haul ass back to the top of the World Trade Center, even though we know the glider's not going to fly. Also, how the fuck are you going to fit everybody into that plane?
Oh, the plan was just to get the president and him, right. And that was it. Yeah, that was 100% it.
But of course, the Duke is pursuing them in his big old Cadillac. Yeah. And he hits a cabbie hits a mine because they're hitting that bridge. This is where the big action happens. Yeah,
because the glider they've deemed isn't going to be able to do it. So they're gonna work. Yeah, so they're going to try and use the bridge to get away.
Right. And so they're using the bridge. Duke actually gets killed along with Brain in this. A lot of, bing, 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 back and forth firing. The president is the one that kills the Duke.
Yeah.
And then the assassins kill Brain, and Snake gets over the bridge, over the wall.
With president just gets time, over the wall. No time to spare.
I mean, seconds on the clock. They couldn't have timed this better. Yeah. And
at some point, they do play the tape.
They did. They were playing it in the car. Cabby popped it in just because Snake was like, what the hell is so important?
Yeah.
I mean, it was some kind of public address about safety and unity and stuff. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention. Nobody was shooting guns.
Yeah. There's so much happening there.
There was no guns being fired, and I couldn't see Adrian Barbeau in the scene, so I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, right. Of course.
So we get back to civilization. They're making up the president for TV. He's being a colossal prick to Snake, even though he just saved his life.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it was Snake's plan all along, but he definitely was confirmed when the president was a prick to him. He's like, all right, cool. Here's your tape, pal. And as he starts to walk away, they neutralize the thing. They got their x-rays.
Yeah, they x-rayed his neck.
The x-rays are as big as the microphone in my hand.
Yeah, I know. And there's two
They literally just went...
Buzz.
Buzz. Yeah. Yeah, okay, cool. It's the 80s. We didn't know what kind of technology we were going to have. And as the president stands up to make his live address to the world, Cabby's tape plays, which had Bandstand Boogie on it. Yeah. It was one of those nice swinging 20s songs. Basically what was playing in the theater.
Right.
That plays, obviously, the president looks like a fool.
Yes.
And Snake walks out, lights a cigarette, and welcomes in the end of the world.
Yeah, well, he pulls all of the tape
He destroys the tape, yeah.
He destroys the tape, too.
I understand it's 2020. For all you kids watching, just Google cassette tapes. They were a thing. Because I know a lot of this isn't making sense. What do you mean pull the tape out? What do you mean? Like, did he hit delete on the phone? No, there was actually physical tapes. They were about the size of our phones, but a little bit thicker. And they had spools of film and actual tape in them. Electromagnetic tape, yes. And you pulled them out, they got all fucked up. They didn't play anymore.
No, they didn't.
Audio was a fickle thing back before digital.
It very much was. It plays into a little bit more about the world building that I talked about at the beginning, because it was really interesting that he says we have to save the president, and he goes, the president of what? You know what I mean? And he's like being a smarmy dick. Right. But at the same time, it feels like this guy has seen some shit, and based on the shit that he has seen, he is basically disenfranchised to whatever this world is. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's very interesting, because I want to know why. Why are you like, why do you hate this country so much? Why do you hate the world so much?
Snake?
Yes.
Because what's the world ever gave him?
One eye. Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things.
They've taken my eye.
Yeah. It's just one of those interesting things that it's just like, man, I wish that I knew more.
About Snake,
about what's going on, because it's like, yeah, you basically are just saying that China and Russia and the U.S. are all going to nuke each other simultaneously. Easy to follow. Right. But it's like, I bet you there's more to it that if we like, you know... I would like to say
the movie did well enough that it earned a sequel that was going to expand on the world building, expand on Snake's story in Escape from L.A. but it didn't.
Yeah. It did well enough for Escape from L.A.
It did well enough to get us Escape from L.A. Now, they didn't do much on the world building. It was basically like, all right, let's take this movie and go west.
Yeah, let's have him try to score a bunch of baskets in a few minutes.
Yeah, that was a thing. I always remember the terrible blue screen surfing scene with Peter Fonda.
Yeah.
Rough. Yeah, it's a simple plot. It's kind of like I was talking to somebody. I mentioned the Spencer Confidential movie,
right?
And because they were kind of saying the same thing. They wanted more backstory for the supporting characters. I'm like, look, it wasn't a complex story, man. Bad guys did bad things. Mark Wahlberg saved the day. We all ate lobster for celebrations. Roll credits.
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck? This isn't a complicated movie. It's an exploitation film at best. You know what I mean? So is that Escape from New York?
That's Escape from New York.
That is Escape from New York. We have not discussed what we're doing next week, Eddie.
No, we have not.
Do you have any thoughts? We're doing it live, pal.
Yeah, we'll do it live. You know, I think now seems as good a time as any to do an Elvis movie.
Sure, why not? Why not?
I don't think I've seen any of them.
Any of them. Oh, yeah, boy.
So I'm going to say that.
Okay. So maybe we'll do an Elvis movie. I don't know which ones are readily available. I have a bunch on Blu-ray and DVD. Of course I do. But yeah, okay. So we'll do a Elvis movie next week.
Because otherwise, I would have suggested Fortress with Christopher Lambert.
Wow. There can be only one. That's the only thing I know from.
I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, but
Nope.
It's a dystopian prison movie set in 2017. So.
Ooh. So it's relevant. And
it's relevant.
Relevant. All right. So we're going to do an Elvis movie, or we might just pivot and change our plans midweek.
Yeah, who knows? We're going to do a movie.
We're going to do a movie. Thanks for joining us on that movie show for Escape from New York. We're going to probably do a couple things during the week. So keep it. Make sure you hit like on the Facebook page, facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv. Make sure you subscribe to that movie show on any podcast app. Next week is our last radio show. I don't know. We were supposed to do it live at Blackstrap Barbecue, but we're still going to do it. We're still going to do something.
At Blackstrap Barbecue because we'll be the only people there.
We'll be the only people. Yeah, and we will not consume, so maybe.
Yes.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be different. Make sure you come back. ThatMovieShow.net is the website where we have the archives. Follow myself and Eddie on social media at Mike Wendt, at The Eddie McCabe. Eddie has a brand new TikTok. So go to The Eddie McCabe on TikTok and watch him dance in his underwear. Hashtag That Movie Show. Yeah. And keep it on our Facebook because if we're stuck inside for an extended period of time, we're probably going to come up with a Patreon thing too. So.
Yeah, probably.
Because we got to make some fucking money. I mean, we're all out of work.
Yeah, I know. It's sad.
All right. We'll see you next week, folks.
Bye, everybody. That's Hoovy Valley, Hoovy Hollywood. Where any office boy or young
mechanic can be a panic. A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. Because old ideas aren't cutting it anymore. This new year, we need a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. So whatever you have in mind that will help make a different future, find everything you need to get started at GoDaddy.com. Because the future isn't decided yet. It's still ours to win. Start different at GoDaddy.com. A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. We need a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.